All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Hopefully you all had a great weekend. The weather outside might be frightful, but you know, with me and Nick and Barry inside, well,
it's close to delightful. Should be for the next 3 hours, as we're all present and accounted for. If it's not, it's your fault, because I said.
This is a fun day because everybody gets to vent.
Yeah, boy, and are they. Patrick Creighton venting and could not sound
Everybody gets to yell.
That's why
this day is so fun.
I haven't listened. I got to be honest. The wife was off today, so you know that screws up every morning.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I haven't listened to anything. Coming in, I was on the phone. Shout out to Rich up in Conroe, talking to him, talking to some other folks. So I didn't have a chance to really to listen to any radio. Is everybody venting and pissed off?
Well, Granato grilled them. Creighton
grilled
definitely
who?
Grilled
the Texans.
Bill O'Brien.
Okay.
Billy O.
Yeah. Billy O specifically.
Patrick Creighton got, as the kids would say, was the extra? Because I didn't listen.
I mean, he was Creighton. Yeah, he was a bit extra.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Pat's got this, like, as we all know, this driving, massive voice, right?
Yes.
When he gets excited and starts yelling,
it gets not boisterous.
But it almost gets more delicate.
Really?
Like, I think he's more forceful when he's just talking. When he gets excited, he gets quick, and he gets in, and I'm like, oh, boy, is he going to be okay? I mean, he just...
I did not expect that.
I thought Nick was going to call for medical attention at one point.
That was great.
I love his passion, but isn't he a Giants fan? I mean, he strikes me as the kind of guy that would be like a Giants fan.
He is, but he's an adopted Houstonian. How long has he been in Houston? It's been a while.
I don't know. That's something we'd have to ask him.
He's an Astros and a Texans fan, I think.
He didn't just get passionate about Bill O'Brien. He lost his cookies. I mean,
it's funny because I was talking about this with my wife and sister-in-law this weekend because we were talking about – this was Saturday before the Aggie game. And they were asking me about the game and about the Texans. And, you know, Nora was like, oh, you know, he gets so upset. And I was like, you know, honestly, I haven't been that way over the last year or so. This job has kind of ruined my fandom. Like, I'm not as invested in the Aggies or the Texans as I used to be. Because I feel like part of my job, I have to be objective.
The objectivity factor. I
feel the same way.
And I'm watching. You're such a liar. And I'm watching the games now from a more observational perspective. Like I'm not invested as much as a fan as I am as a radio sports talk radio guy, where I have to come and so I'm watching games, making notes and jotting down ideas or thoughts or things, talking points that I want to do. It's kind of ruined sports for me. I'm going to be honest. It's not the same.
I'm going to say ruined sports. It changed sports for me. I know where you're coming.
Okay, maybe ruined, but changed. Because, well, I would have been a lot more upset and in a roundabout way excited about that Aggie game.
Yeah.
But I was just like, oh, well, good for the Aggies, you know? Same thing yesterday. I would have been 2-3 years ago, I would have been extremely pissed off at Bill O'Brien. Instead, I was like, yeah, he's an idiot. Yeah. But I mean, I'm more objective, I guess, now. So it does kind of suck a little bit.
I mean, here's the thing, and we'll get into it. But I'm looking at it going, this is the guy you gave, what, a 4-year extension to. This is the guy that you gave the keys to the car, the remote to the garage, everything to. And he hasn't changed. He hasn't changed his stripes. He's the same guy with the same flaws that you knew about before you separated him and Rick Smith.
Here's the thing, though. All of that is true, mm-hmm. and all of the heat that he's getting today is warranted. Mm-hmm. But if you don't spot New England 7 points,
go more than that, Barry. Come on now.
I mean, just right off the bat, though.
Right off the bat, you give them 7 points right on the fumble.
Yeah.
Before the half, the whole Gronk controversy.
Yeah, but you can't. People are pissed off at him about that. It does. That's a replay. That's a booth.
No, you
replay.
Call a timeout.
That doesn't matter. That's not going to force them to review it.
Well, but Tony Corrente after the game said New York tried to get to them. But they didn't get to them in time.
Oh, you they called, were on another game?
So I don't know what they were doing. Maybe they had a game of Fortnite going on and they just couldn't really escape it.
Sorry, guys. Our guy was pooping, and when he came back out, they had ran another play. So, look, I get that. That part I get.
But going for it on fourth and five and passing the points up there?
Yeah.
Or easy, how about that's a guaranteed field goal?
Yeah, how about you lose your left tackle? So what's your next play? Run it, left tackle.
Yeah, just
dumbass. What are you doing?
Or when you're down two scores and you're trying to get it inside the red zone in quick score so that you can either get it back with your timeouts or have to onside kick. And not only do you run it, but you spend 35 seconds farting around before you run it.
Here's what I love about Tony Romo on the call, which I enjoyed listening
Lance
to him the
was
whole
spot
game.
On. There were drives where if you don't have Tony Romo, it's a totally different viewing experience. He was fantastic yesterday.
What I love about him is that 9 times out of 10, he's right when he says something. He's like, well, they're going to do this. They'll run this play. He even did the telestrator and drew where they were going to run left this hole, and that's exactly what they did. And he's doing that all the time. But it also pisses you off. Because he's like, oh, look, one-on-one with Hopkins down here at the bottom. They should throw to him. And then they don't. And you're like, damn it, we saw that. Of course, you didn't see that because Tony Romo had to point it out for you. But you're like, it makes it even more frustrating when he's suggesting that, oh, look, Hopkins has one-on-one. They're in man coverage. You've got, just throw a fade route. Just throw a slant route. And it doesn't happen. So it's great, but man, it could almost make you more frustrated when you're dealing with a coach that maybe
I had people
makes
on social media, on Twitter,
stupid bonehead
after
moves.
He did exactly what you're talking about, go, well, Bill O'Brien doesn't have an offensive coordinator. How much can you pay to get Romo to come out of the booth
and
be your OC so you can actually take advantage of what he sees that Bill doesn't?
Man.
Because it's true.
Yeah, you would see, they would be like, oh, middle of the field's wide open. They don't even use that.
And then Mr. Chin music in the post game. It's not my job. Not my job.
What?
Oh, my God.
McClain, I don't watch post games.
McClain got all over him on the whole, you could call timeout.
Yeah.
Not my job, John. John, I'll look at the tape, John, but you don't know what I know, John, and right now, it's just not my job,
John. He kind of backtracked today at the Monday presser. I played that a couple segments ago. He kind of backtracked and he realized, but at the same time.
Well, play it for our listeners. No one listens to Patrick Creighton.
Well,
play it for our listeners. We don't care that you, ugh.
You don't like Patrick Creighton?
I do. Kidding.
Don't hate on Patrick
just
Creighton.
Just kidding, but we have listeners that don't listen to the other show, so we can't.
Yeah, Barry, the Knick Knack Paddywhack show has a lot of listeners.
The what?
Knick Knack Paddywhack.
He's been calling it Knick Knack Paddywhack the whole, the past hour.
I like that.
Give the crowd a bone.
That's
the Knick
Knack. Sweet.
There's your
next
show.
Yeah, but this
show.
Is our open segment, so I usually let you guys.
Yeah, well,
plus
we just
I don't
got
have
it
audio ready.
We'll get it.
You just You've played
been
it.
He's been working all day.
Have you? What time did you get here today, Nicholas?
10:30.
Oh, wow. Boy.
Man, I know your ass ain't complaining about. You complain 10:30. About waking up at 11.
Yeah, you do.
Or
you get up so you can go back to bed.
Waking up. I got up at
10:30. 5:30 on Sunday to do
on
the yard.
On Sunday, Nick. Not today.
To do the yard. No, Nora was. I got up at 8:30 today.
And what time did you go back to bed?
I didn't. Nora was here.
It's amazing. Right. He can't build the motivation to wake up during the week, but he can build the motivation to wake up at 5:30 on a Sunday morning to do the yard.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, because I have to work on Sundays.
He needed topics for garden talk.
Yeah, I work on Sundays. I have to watch sports. That's my job. So I have to be ready by noon to watch those sports.
Yeah, how much sports did you watch?
All of them. All the sports.
I didn't watch a lot of football.
A lot of sports. Did you watch the UFC?
I did.
While watching 12 different college games?
I did.
Okay, me too.
Eat it.
That's my job. Jerk. God, I hate you so
Actually,
much.
Actually, I didn't watch the Houston. I didn't even watch the Cougs game, but I watched so much football.
Yeah.
It was a great sports weekend, I felt like.
Super fan. Having
football is obviously a big part of
football,
it.
Having football, but having a UFC card, Astros and Red Sox, man.
Dude, I'm telling you
Hell
what,
of a weekend to be
I
alive.
I was sitting on it going, well, I said if either team's going to sweep, it's going to be the Astros. And then the damn replay play guy got me.
I was thinking the same thing.
I'm trying to.
I was thinking the same thing because I was like, dear Lord, I want the Astros to win, but I do not want to hear Joel rub this in my face all week. Please, for the love of God, make the Astros lose this
Bill
game.
O'Brien? Bill O'Brien? Brian, who, that's a job? Bill O'Brien? Come on!
Is this your...
That's his peak rate. Oh, yeah, that's his peak rate. Yeah. That is totally his peak rate.
Yep. That's not fantastic. Bad either. It's basically what I heard on the way in.
Oh,
what is your job if you don't have that as your job? Bill O'Brien.
How much... Okay, so I guess what I don't know is, in New York, how many people do they have manning the helms watching these games for...
That's a good question.
...New York? Because that would be the thing. If it's one person, then yeah, you definitely have to call time out.
13 games
if it's
yesterday.
One person covering all the games...
I don't think so.
I feel like there should be a person assigned to every game,
I think there is.
Right?
So you had 13 games yesterday. Of that, I think there were four late games, three or four. So essentially, let's assume you've got nine games going on. You should have nine monitor/editors that are watching and monitoring each game, and then you have one official, like for the NBA Replay Center. Mm-hmm. You have, for however many games, there's one person watching each game, and then there's the head of officials
that'll look at the
who will be called over by the monitor going, hey, you're going to probably get a call. This is one that's coming up.
Yeah, then if that's the case, and there's then yeah, I get it, but then you definitely have to call that timeout at that point. But some people I'm hearing or heard yesterday on Twitter and so forth are mad because he didn't challenge. I'm like, you can't challenge inside of 2 minutes.
But what was the play?
Timeout is a different story.
In his press conference, his first comment was, "It's not, John, it's not challengeable. I can't throw the..." Everybody knows that, okay, Bill?
Well, not everybody. There were a lot of people on Twitter that didn't know that.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that didn't know. But at the same time, he expected the question because he knew McClain was going to come at him first. And he expected the clip, and he already had a pre-set like reaction. He didn't realize it, but you can tell.
Oh yeah,
and he's like, "Oh, PR people and everybody, they had him ready for it."
Yeah, and then you know he comes back today, and he's like, "I should have answered the question better. You didn't want to answer the question."
No,
he goes, I think it was McClain who asked it. Man, just you knew it was McClain who asked the question. Stop. It's ridiculous.
Oh boy,
John, I'm going to take you to CC's. We'll make it all better.
Week one, huh?
Yeah, but he should have called the timeout because. You look a little bit, either a little bit later, I forgot which play, where the Texans were trying to rush to the line to spike the ball or hut the ball because they didn't want Belichick to challenge the play.
Yeah.
And what did Belichick do without even knowing?
There. Yeah.
He just threw the flag.
Yeah, that's right. They said that was completely Belichick just on gut reaction alone going, "I'm going to take a shot on this
one." Yeah. No, you're right. And the point being, the boneheaded part about it is, what are you doing with those timeouts anyways? Just call a timeout. You're not taking them with you. They don't carry over.
This isn't the workplace where you get paid or you can stockpile your vacation time. Bill O'Brien has a stockpile of unused timeouts in the first half of games that could get him like 2 months off.
He's got a season's worth of timeouts available to him based on how he's coached.
God. So we got that and a whole lot more to get to. I'm sure you guys want to join in. It's probably been the topic of discussion, but we've got other things on our agenda.
I'd like to talk about your phone next.
I wouldn't, but we can. Oh, we actually... Yeah,
his phone. All the grief you guys gave me. Guess whose phone doesn't work?
Yeah, karma.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah, I'm not...
Well, your phone is garbage, too, so what's the big deal?
No, it's not. Bitch, I've been texting and using it all weekend with no problem. It's you two
I can tell you
that I had a problem with. No one else!
You paid for that phone. I'll get mine just like it tomorrow. All right, we'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. First hour of the show. Hopefully have some surprises for you along the way. Looks like we're working on Dr. Chow, the former team doctor for the San Diego Chargers we've had on in the past. He's going to talk NFL injuries, so if there's ones that we missed that you might want to throw out there, he might be a good guy to throw them off of. He'll give us, hopefully, a full segment. at about 1:45, so we're working on getting him on. But lots to talk about, both on and off the floor, as we just kind of broke the ice in segment number one here on The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, well, we actually did the opposite of what we normally do. We got a little
sportsy.
Got a little sports out of the way early.
You're getting so demanding with that audio.
I like it. I know. Who, me or him?
You.
Me?
You. It's always about you.
You.
What are you talking about? Me?
Let's hear it for our audience. We don't want Patrick Crane's audience to hear it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I want to hear it because, you know what? I don't watch post games. I can't stand them.
But you don't have to watch the whole thing. You can find it on social media.
Yeah, but they're almost pointless. 90% of what comes out of a post game is garbage. It
depends on whose mouth it's coming out of. If it's O'Brien, it's garbage. If it's guys that are like appreciate the job of the media head coaches, they will give you more than just coach speak.
I don't know.
But this, if you are going to check out,
other than the occasional tirade, we let them off the hook or something like that.
But if you're gonna check out a post game presser, I think this might be one only because he melted down after the game.
Like I said, there's the 10%. 90% of the time,
right.
Boring.
Right.
Is it a controlled meltdown? Is that the best way to put it? Where he doesn't like turn red in the face and scream and spit, but you can tell he's clearly agitated.
Right. It's not, I wouldn't classify it as a meltdown because you can tell he was subduing, he was like suppressing his anger. Because you're right. I think you're right. I think the PR staff did really give him a heads up. That's normally what happens. Like, and when you give him a heads up,
roast you.
And what happens when someone tells you you're going to get roasted and you know it's going to happen? You're going to get defensive. Very few people know how to handle that situation very, very well. And you're probably going to get defensive.
Yeah.
And so when he knew McClain was going to get that first question, as many times he does, he knew what was going to happen. He knew.
Robert and Tomball said, "Hey, guys, I tuned in a little early today, and now I can't hear."
Well, good thing you didn't tune in between 11 and 1. He'd be deaf.
Oh, my God, that's what he meant.
I thought he meant me yelling
in segment one.
Robert usually tunes in at one, and he said he did a little early, and now he can't hear. Trevor G said, "How about the deep breath that Joel and the whole state of Wisconsin took when Rodgers went down?"
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Team.
They're asking
cool as a cucumber all night last night.
And then someone brought up the fact that there was a great boxing match this weekend to go along with all the other sports
that we got. Porter Garcia.
The tennis match.
I was going to say
Serena
losing thing her bleep. That's crazy.
Big deal as well.
Accused the judge. Is it a judge?
It's a, yeah.
Umpire.
It's the umpire.
Accused the umpire of sexism.
Amongst other things. And I gotta tell you, I agree. I side with Serena.
And she still ended up getting fined.
Tell me if I'm wrong here, but
$17,000.
Because I don't want to talk tennis because I don't care. But did she really get a penalty for her umpire giving her a thumb, or her coach giving her a thumbs up?
Yeah. Not thumbs up.
He called it coaching.
Yeah. He
gave me a thumbs up. That's coaching.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
But he said, and you know what? I give him credit now because, again, this is one where you can get the coach speak and he can say, "No, I didn't do anything of the sort." He said, "Quite honestly, I was coaching, but everybody does it. And I was just a quick thing where he was basically saying center of the court, like move her away from just hitting center of the court." So he kind of just did this little gesture and it was behind people in front of him. But all the coaches do it. But for some reason, and you go back and look at this, this same umpire made the same call against her sister 3 years ago.
Ooh, that's
and
a bad
he's
look.
Done.
Has he made that call against anybody else?
He's also made controversial calls in men's matches with some of the top players where they were like, "Are you kidding me?" Because he was just pulling little technicalities out of the rule book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really bad look. But she got the actual game penalty because she kept saying, "You owe me an apology. You're a thief because you stole points from me. You're a thief." And he got offended by the word
he said
thief.
The player was combative or something like that?
Yeah.
He ended up saying, "Well, now I'm going to steal this game from you."
He said that?
Yeah.
What an a-hole.
Because between McEnroe.
What he said.
Wow, what a dick.
Go all the way back to like Ili Nastasi, but go McEnroe back in the day. Or even at any match you look at now.
They got away with so much.
On the men's side, they're dropping four-letter bombs all over the place when they're not happy. She said, "Well, thief is five letters, but I just lost a game because of it." She's absolutely right. And what I feel worse about was she was still going to lose that match.
Yeah.
And
I felt bad
and
for the
girl
chick
who
that
won.
Osaka, is
not,
what was her name?
She is not going to get any credit. She was on the Today Show this morning, and the first question they want to ask her about was Serena.
Yeah.
How about asking her about winning her first major at the U.S. Open?
Yeah, it was pretty crappy. I felt bad for her. And then somebody else added, "Just imagine if Tiger was playing on Sunday, what a weekend."
He's playing right now. And he's within two shots of the lead. They got rained out yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, guess who didn't care about golf?
Well, at least you got one announcer that cares enough to keep you informed.
It's okay. This guy. Oh, my God. We're not taking this call. Lawrence, you.
Let's talk Aaron Rodgers, man.
You
a minute. Lawrence, what are you doing, my man? Get in here.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
What's up?
Really? We're not going to play the beep over this?
Hey,
Lawrence, ignore the side noise that you hear.
Hey, I was trying to figure I had the wrong number or what.
You hear me. I'm with you.
I have Aaron Rodgers on my fantasy football team, and I was losing, you know? And I was saying, I'm going to throw my phone out the house. So I'm like, well, I'm telling my wife, I'm like, well, man, we might be out of there. He came back like, oh, Willis Reed. Joe, he a bad man. I'm going to hang up and listen.
We might as well just get to it now. Appreciate the call, Lawrence.
There's enough quarterbacks that struggle on two legs, but the human pogo stick was amazing last night.
That was unbelievable.
Unreal. And that's all that, honestly, I did not want to miss that last drive. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I did not, because you knew what was coming. You knew what was coming, and there was nothing you can do to stop it, despite Aaron Rodgers being on one leg and apparently having some, and I think Dr. Child tweeted about this.
He did.
But some sort of metal brace that he had.
Yeah.
How do you play with, like, a metal brace?
Well, think about on the final drive, think about the roll left when he was getting pressured by Mac, where he couldn't even push off to the point where he looked like he was, you know how you or I would throw with our opposite hand?
Yeah.
And you would be, like, almost throwing, like, you know, feminine? Well, well, for lack of a better term, feminine.
That was feminine.
Like that. You can see it.
You might throw like that. I don't.
Yeah, unless you're throwing a hook shot without looking. But, but I mean, you could see he didn't have anything.
No.
And then
it was all arm.
But yeah, and then I'm talking to Lance about it, going, the ball that started the whole thing to start the second half, the ball to Allison in the corner of the end zone that went like 55 yards, was in a window the size of like a volleyball. I mean, you're right. It's all arm. Lance and I were talking about it just a few minutes ago. And he's like, I've never seen anything like it before in my life, where it's not only his arm, but it's from his elbow to his wrist. He doesn't have to crank it up.
Yeah.
And he puts it through small windows. But you wanted to get to my phone. We can get to it for obvious reasons, right? Because the biggest blessing that could have happened was my phone died at 7:12. The entire first half, I'm thinking, God is looking down on me, because I could hear it vibrating, but I couldn't read what was on it. And I'm like, it was like in an hourly hotel room, the vibrating machine. I mean, it was just, kept going and going and going. I'm like, everyone's having their way with me tonight, because, I mean, I'm taking it. And now, and
people were texting me about you. They're like tweeting me. They're like, is Joel okay? Did you check on Joel? I'm like, yeah. Oh my.
Twitter was that way too. And then when he kicked, come on, guys, if you're watching the game, when he comes out of the tent, you see, he looked like he'd been crying. You see him shaking his head, take the hat off. He gets in the golf cart. There wasn't a fiber in my body that didn't think the season was over. He was done. The Packers are done. Week one of my football season, and my whole year's over.
Well, you have to, I mean, I'm sure he'll get an MRI.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
And I don't think he's out of the woods yet.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I hope
he's okay.
I hope he's okay. You never want to see a guy like that not be able to play. But, I mean, you...
That's why I haven't commented, but I'll give you the reason why I think he's going to be okay, and it's not season-ending when we come back, because I'm with you guys on that. All right, we got much more to go on the show, just a half hour in the rearview mirror. That means plenty more on the agenda. If you want to join in, the HR&P listener line starting to fill up. We got some openings. You can call or text 713-780-3776. We'll be watching text messages, answering calls. You can also reach us via Twitter, where it's at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry Is Funny. Fasten your seatbelts. Away we go. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Snap to A-Rod. Rushes on. Has time. Looking. Throws middle. Yes. Got his man.
Breaking free to the 50. He may go all the way to the 20 down the right side. It is Randall Cobb to the 5, to the end zone, to the touchdown. Oh, my goodness. Randall Cobb to the lead score.
Wayne Larrabee, WTMJ in Milwaukee, and the Packers Radio Network on the call.
Barry's trying to hang himself with his own headset cord.
That is music to my ears, people, because I was seriously contemplating bodily harm to myself at halftime.
This was a tale of two halves, and I even told you on Twitter. I called it. I said, look, I think the second half is going to be the complete opposite of the first. The Bears are legit, though.
Oh, no doubt.
Let's not be real.
And are you a fan of Trubisky now? Because I kind of am. I wasn't so much.
Here's why the Bears are legit, though. That defense.
No question.
Oh, Mac was insane.
Good
Mac
Lord.
And then Roquan Smith together. Those guys are going to be nasty for a while. And
Smith was not even, I don't think he was supposed to play.
The other kid from Georgia, too. The guy that landed on Rodgers' knee. All those guys. They've got such a young bunch of that studs defense, on defense.
Yeah, that defense is legit. Trubisky, he's going to need some more weapons, I think. But I think he'll be a player. I don't know if he's ever going to be like, you know,
I liked what I saw. I don't know if he's going to be amazing.
I think once they figured out what they were dealing with, the Packers, then defensively they switched it up in the second half. And because you could also tell that that's how the theme was all day long, even in the Texans game. I mean, the Texans won the second half. Too bad they got annihilated in the first half and choked and gave up, you know, easy touchdowns on turnovers and stuff. But the Patriots scored 6 points in the second half. But that was the theme all day. Some of these teams, the whole thing would flip. Mm-hmm. And it was because
of... But come on, at the half, you didn't think he was coming back.
No, I didn't. But it was because of the preseason and stuff like that.
I think someone new to hate.
J.J. Watt had a completely different second half than he did first half. Yep. He was nowhere.
So, you're right.
So you could tell that was happening across the league for most of the day. I kind of felt the same thing would happen. Even without Aaron Rodgers, that I didn't know if he was going to play or not.
I don't think they win that game without him.
I didn't know if he was going to play or not. But when
Kaiser at the helm. Shoot.
When I made the comment, I don't think they would beat him without him.
I said, but I got someone new to hate. They got rid of Hundley so I can hate Deshaun Kaiser. Right.
But when I made the comment, he hadn't gotten hurt yet. So I felt like that they would still have the opportunity to flip it around, and the Bears probably aren't ready just yet. But they're on the way.
I'm with you. Sure. And here's the thing. I was taking more... I hate the fact that people, especially when the team has been your bitch for over a decade, I don't appreciate Bear fan talking all kinds of mess 8 hours before kickoff, right? Because I just don't do that. But if you keep going and then you go through the whole first half, if for some reason the tides turn and things change, look the hell out, because I'm going to come at you with a furor because of the fact that you have gone over the top from the get-go. But here's the thing. So Lisa goes to bed. Taylor goes to bed. The Matthews roughing the passer penalty. I let out a huge F yeah and everything. And I'm like, oh, she probably didn't hear that, right? But then the Matthews penalty. So now I'm letting out other F-bombs. So I got to go relive the whole thing again with like a minute to play. Only to have the second fourth down finally.
Wait, what was the first F yeah?
Because it's over. So now I can finally unleash. Because I'm sitting there biting through my tongue going, please win this game so far. I have a whole laundry list of the people taking shots that I want to go at. But I can't do it until it's complete guaranteed. So then they stop him the first time, but then Matthews gets the roughing the quarterback.
Right.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? So this morning I go, hey, Lise, you didn't hear me last night, did you? She goes, twice. Normally, you just do that at the end when they win. Why twice? And I go, because on a delayed penalty call, I thought it was over, and it wasn't. And then I'm sitting there on the edge of my seat again until they finally did it. And then I was like louder because I'm like, thank God it's over. That was crazy.
Yeah, that was wild. And let's be real. They got lucky.
No doubt about it. I'm not going to deny that.
If Fuller doesn't drop that interception that hits him in the chest, that's ball game.
By the way, people don't realize Mac got his fingers on that ball too. That's how good he was. He changed the trajectory, which might have hurt him. But I did hear that the Bears have contacted Hamburger Helper. If they can get that hand thing for Kyle Fuller, the rest of the season could look bright.
They said something to the effect of he dropped like he should have had 6 interceptions last year. Four of them he dropped.
He's known for that.
Literally, he's the hands of stone.
He's known for that.
How bad do you feel for that entire Bears team that all he has to do is catch that ball? That's ball game. Yep.
It would be
over.
It'd be a
completely
different
Aaron Rodgers comeback.
Nope.
If he catches that, there is none. So That's why I say, I mean, the Bears showed up well. Mm-hmm. Defensively, they looked really good. Despite, you know, Aaron Rodgers and the three
How
touchdowns.
How bad does John Gruden look like right now and Reggie McKenzie?
Oh, boy.
You just let that of a player get away?
I think he had something to prove, too.
He better win. I tell you that. He better win in Oakland.
Think about this now. This guy isn't even close to game speed ready. He just came in off the street doing his workouts, and we all know that's not even close to being, like, game rep ready. Yep. When he's game rep ready, look the hell out with the rest of that defense. Yeah. I did hear, Nick, to your point, though, that a lot of people in Chicago are already clamoring to get Chase Daniel in. I don't know why. Trubisky, you can blame the coach and the play calling. Trubisky, in my mind, didn't do anything wrong last night. He looked like every bit of the part of everybody saying he's this year's Jared Goff.
I will say he was visibly nervous in the second half.
Yes.
I will say
that. Final drive.
The final drive. He's a young kid, though. Yeah. This is how you. I mean, look, it's rare that a young kid in that situation, even Deshaun Watson didn't play well, I thought, when the pressure was on him.
Oh, no.
He didn't in the game. So, I mean, this is how you become a better football player. You have to go through some of those drives, be pressured. You know these defensive coordinators know how to handle a young quarterback like Trubisky. So, he's going to be better and get better from it. So, it's kind of like the same thing with Mond and the Aggies. That's going to make them better. This is the same thing. This game will make Trubisky.
Growing pains.
Exactly.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Here's my theory before we get to it, because we teased it. But here's my thing on the Rodgers injury. As much as I'm with you, because just like I don't want to talk mess to whoever we're playing, even though they're talking crap storms, I don't want to talk about the rest of the season and him being okay till I hear the medical report. Because to me, you can always, with an MRI, find a tear. You can find something. But the one reason why I hold out more hope than normal is McCarthy in his post-game press conference made sure to state several times the doctors were the ones that cleared him and told me he's okay to go back in. If you have even an inkling that is a torn MCL, ACL, or something like that,
he said no.
You don't put him in.
Yeah.
Because now you're risking further damage and possibly threatening more like career symptoms. Then you can't put him back in that game if there's a tear. So I think, and Dr. Chow had the tweet you mentioned, based on the fact that the brace that was used and the way everything was treated, in his opinion, that's a sprained
an MCL. Sprain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's get to Juan's call. He wants to talk Packers Bears. And Joe wants to talk Packers Bears. Joe, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Very good. Joe, how are you?
Not bad. Listen, I hate Aaron Rodgers. We as the Texans, we played them a few years ago, and he had some real smart at, you know. Anyway,
he had six touchdowns in that game,
Joe. I really
Joe.
Wanted to see the Bears come in and dismantle them, which I didn't expect to happen. But is anybody else putting this on Matt Nagy? I mean, is he the only person in the NFL who doesn't know Aaron Rodgers? Because why are you kicking a field goal when you're up three on fourth and one? When if they go down and score a field goal, you're still safe. You're going to overtime. You didn't do anything by kicking a field goal. He told Aaron Rodgers, guess what? You have to have a touchdown. Well, that's what Aaron Rodgers does.
Well, Joe, he went to the Bill O'Brien School of Play Calling. So, therefore, when you major and get your degree from the Bob School of Play Calling, you leave time on the clock and less than a touchdown to score, i.e. last year against the Patriots. And you make ridiculous calls.
That was crazy.
You're right about the fourth and one, but take it back a notch. Don't pass the ball on third down when you punted the ball back to them and the clock keeps running, forcing them to make moves so he has less time. So Matt Nagy came out, and it's almost like we were saying that the PR staff tipped off O'Brien before he got out there. It was almost like the Bears PR staff was listening to Collinsworth at the end of the game, who said, hey, if I'm Matt Nagy, when I go to the podium tonight, I'm going to say, yeah, that was a tough loss, but that was a learning experience for my locker room. And they did a lot of things well, and this is something that they can learn from going forward. It was almost verbatim what Nagy said when he made his comments before he took questions. And you're like, man, if they just – they, you're right. They got Packers got lucky and then some, but they shouldn't have had the opportunity to have Rodgers with the ball with a chance to win.
Yeah, you can't leave him time. Nope. Juan, you want to switch gears a little bit, or you want to do it after the break?
Fine.
Well, we've got Juan real quick. He wants to talk Steelers-Browns because this is another game I want to get to.
Yep.
And before we get to the Texans, because we need to do that as well.
Sure.
But Juan, Steelers-Browns, what's up, man?
Okay, so are they going to be okay? Should I start worrying? When? He's watching the games.
You talking about the Steelers, right?
What he's doing.
Steelers fan,
yes, sir,
one.
Of
yeah.
course.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you got to be clear because we weren't clear on the intro with it. To
you know, this. I'm not
we have more than one Juan that calls the show. But, I mean, look, you can say, I mean, I know, and I know Le'Veon Bell was tweeting throughout the proceedings to kind of, you know, give it the smirky little, are you watching this? James Conner played fairly, I mean, pretty damn good. I mean, he put up good numbers.
Yeah.
The biggest problem he had was a late fumble.
Leading rusher in the NFL this week. You can't blame this on not having Le'Veon Bell.
Biggest problem was he fumbled. He did fumble late, which cost them. But other than that, don't get mad. No. That line did their job. Conner did his job. You know who didn't do their job?
Defense.
No, Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
my Six God. Turnovers.
I had it on my fantasy team. Jeez.
Yeah.
The overtime was the like...
What the hell is wrong with him? Three interceptions, a fumble. What did he do?
I mean, he just kept... First of all, he kept throwing it to the other team, and half of them were just really bad. Then in overtime, which was just a battle of attrition where both teams just couldn't screw up enough, and it was just like, oh, the Steelers got this. They're just going to... Whoop! Ben just let it fly, and they picked it off, and then they're going, and both kickers looked like they played soccer.
Yeah, but I had Boswell on my team, too. That guy was 13 for 13 inside the 40-yard line before that kick, and then he misses that.
But it was pouring.
So...
I mean, it's a different ball game when you got a kick. I get that. There's closers you can get now to replace him if you need. I think Craig Kimbrell's available in certain
ways. And that was the game that I picked for my AJ Pickham, and I lost.
Oof. I haven't lost one yet.
Whatever.
Nice.
I have. Steelers gave up 177 yards on the ground to the Browns.
But again, think about that. 25-mile-an-hour winds. Lots of rain. You know the team's going to run the ball. That shouldn't happen. That's what I'm saying.
Nick Chubb, Carlos Hyde, Duke Johnson, none of those should strike fear into your heart if you're the Steelers' defense.
Well, they're not bad, but they're also not the Steelers' defense of the past either. But at the same time, what I was saying is, to agree with your point, if you're a defensive coordinator coming in and you know 25-mile-an-hour winds and pouring rain, are we throwing the ball? No. If I'm the Cleveland Browns, I'm running the ball. So what do? Load the box. But they didn't do it, and the Browns took advantage. That's smart on their part.
Yeah.
But, you know, to hear Josh Gordon talk after the game about anything less than a win is unacceptable.
Yeah, let's settle
down. You still were lucky to be where you were
at. Here's the thing, though. They won't go, they won't lose 16 games.
No.
And if you're the Browns, at least you can say that.
But your boy Chris
Householder. They still may not win a game.
Chris Householder's all over you.
No. It's Patrick Randle.
Or was it Patrick?
Yeah, P. Randizzle. Okay. Yeah, P. Randizzle. Yeah, because they tied. He's like, oh, I can't wait to get some Cowboys. They tied a team.
And what, the bet was five?
Yeah, and on a sloppy track where Ben Roethlisberger played like garbage.
Can you imagine the push? Because it's going to be, they're going to have five wins and a tie.
I think it was five. I got to go back and look. Yeah, I screenshot it or something like that.
Because that'll be the difference maker right there, the tie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Browns have to make the playoffs.
Oh, well, he's still in pretty good shape.
He's screwed, yeah.
You're in good shape then. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, obviously everybody wants to talk about their team in football. We want to talk about your team, the Houston Texans. We got into it a little bit, but we've got plenty more to say about that. And we've got Trey in the studio because his team, the Dallas Cowboys, took it on the chin in week one. So that's something that people want to talk about as well. We'll continue to roll on, but if you want to reach the show, 713-780-3776. Call us, text us, hit us on Twitter. Right now, I do want to tell you about the good people at Gallery Furniture. You know how Mattress Mac does it. He's a staple in this community. Both what he does in terms of his efforts when things go bad in terms of natural disasters and things going on in the city, but also, more importantly, when it's time to choose furniture for your house. If it's for any room in your house and you need solid wood American-made furniture, look no further than Gallery Furniture because you're going to get quality furniture that's going to last a long time from brands like Stickley. It can be leather furniture, upholstered furniture, living room and dining room furniture. Like I said, basically furniture for any room in your house. And it's great. How do I know? Because most all the furniture in my house is from Gallery Furniture, and it has lasted as long as I've been in Houston. I've been in Houston 23 years. I'm telling you right now, you're never going to be turned away disappointed when you go to Gallery. That means what you see on the showroom floor, if you buy it today, you get it tonight within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time. It's delivered to your house. They're doing the Astros promotion again. You spend $3,000 or more on bedroom furniture from brands like Stearns and Foster and Tempur-Pedic. And if the Astros win it all at the end of the year, you get your total purchase in the bedroom for free. That's another great deal where you get to kind of roll the dice with a little side gambling and you still get great furniture and win regardless if you have to pay for it or if the Stros win it all and you get it for free. Mac likes to have some fun with the people of Houston to make them feel even more engaged in being connected with Gallery Furniture, so you can too. Get to one of their three locations. It's Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. It's the Galleria across from Dillard's on Post Oak. And, of course, the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where what Mac says is exactly what he will do. That means Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. More of the show. Hour number one, three-hour extravaganza. It is The Usual Suspects. Expecting a call at any minute now from Dr. David Chow, former team doctor for the San Diego Chargers, to get his perspective on some injuries across the league and what he thinks about all of that. But we were breaking down some NFL. We might as well get, you know, a go around the league with some of the other games, get those out of the way, because we're going to spend a good portion of time on the Texans, right?
Well, I wanted to get to the Texans. I was ready.
Okay, let's go.
These other games, we've talked about the ones that matter. I mean, what are we missing? What games? Yeah, well, Clarence is going to call in and lament that.
Clarence?
We'll get to him.
Clarence is going to call in?
Yeah, Clarence.
Oh, I thought you said Cowboys. Clarence. No. I was like, that's disrespectful. His name is Clarence, not Clearance.
Although sometimes it's spelled that way on the board.
What a horribly boring game the Cowboys-Panthers game was.
Awful.
I want to talk Texans.
We can start with the audio clips if you want.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, is now? Now we can? We can have them now? Is that?
No. It's not my job to do that. And let me make it clear that I don't have challenges with under 2 minutes to go. Okay. Like, so we're all clear on that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, great. Yeah, I guess so, John. Do you think they blew it? I don't have any idea, John. I'll have to watch that on tape. That's not my job, though, to call a timeout to make their job easier. You know, what I'm trying to do is make sure that we go into halftime with a 14-6 lead. I mean, down 14-6. You know, I'm not trying to say call a timeout there. They rule it a catch. Now the Patriots have more time to put a play together. So, you know, whatever you're going to write, you're going to write. But, like, that's not my job to do that.
What a dumb the Patriots have more time to put a play. Dude, they run a hurry-up offense like 70% of their time. What are you talking about, have more time? These are not imbeciles. This is Tom Brady. He doesn't need less time or more time. Whatever time he has or you give him, he's going to use it.
Well,
a flimsy-ass argument.
On top of that, when you think about the fact that if he does call timeout and they do look at it and they go back to having the ball on their side of the field with 35, 40 more yards to get you before they get in scoring position, it helps you. So don't give me that. And by the way, great grasping of all of the game management when you start out by going, I mean, we want to go in the locker room with a 14-6 lead. So do we all, but you didn't have that opportunity, did you, Billy?
Yeah. My big takeaway, and I had a bunch of points about this game. I mean, I made notes in the first half and the second half, but my big takeaway from this whole game is Kevin Johnson should not be on the field.
Wow,
and now,
man,
I know that he's injured, and I felt bad for him because after I tweeted that out, shortly thereafter is when he got the concussion. But I'm sorry, that kid's just he was overmatched. Kareem Jackson played great, and I loved him at safety.
Well, he was bringing the wood, too, on some of the hits.
Yeah, but what you may end up having to do is move him back down as your nickel and have Colvin and put Reed in there at safety along with Tyrann Mathieu, who, by the way, Tyrann Mathieu.
Woo! Two picks.
Played out of his freaking
worth
mind.
Every penny spent there.
But I'd be okay with some combination because Tyrann Mathieu can play corner as well.
Johnson's face?
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You've got enough safeties with Reed and enough corners with Colvin and Tyrann Mathieu and Kareem Jackson and Joseph that you can put together a combination that does not include Kevin Johnson in that scheme. Now, if they go four wide, five wide, and you need to have Kevin Johnson out there, I get it. But I would limit hit the exposure that you give to that kid on the field because he looked atrocious.
And that was before, during, and after he looked like he was knocked out cold on the field because trying to get him off the field looked like he could barely stand on that one hit. And I know there were a lot of fans cruelly on social media hoping it was a concussion so he wouldn't have to go back in the game. But I mean, at some point, and look, if you're the Texans, you have an out. You can see that their pattern is to kind of weed out all the Rick Smith draft picks.
Yep.
Just admit it right now and say, we didn't make the right pick there. I know it's a former first-round pick, but let's just call it like we see it. He just is not that good. You talk about his hip placement and things like that, but it's true. When you look at that and you look at like how out of position his shoulders are in terms of not allowing him to even make turns to stay with receivers and such. And you're going, how long you been in the league? And I mean, when you're hurt, you got more time to study.
I'm certainly not going to start breaking down hip turns.
I would like you to.
But you don't even have to talk about any of that stuff. He's 10 yards out of a play that he's supposed to be in on. His guys are wide open in the end zone. He was nowhere near where he should have been. He's making the wrong reads. You could tell when Tyrann Mathieu was screaming at him that he said, I told you exactly what to do and who to cover the back out of the backfield when he missed that play and he's up there. It was bad. It was really bad. He looked lost out there. He was lost in coverage. He was lost in the scheme. There's no reason to have him out there. You went out and got Colvin for a reason. I would have no problem if Jonathan Joseph and Aaron Colvin are your starting cornerbacks and when you're in the position where you're going to have to go with a slot corner, you could move Kareem Jackson down and put in Justin Reed as the safety. Something along those lines would make me feel a lot better. Although I will say Kareem Jackson looked really good as a safety. He played really well.
He hit.
Yeah.
I like the way he brought the wood up on the line of scrimmage and right hit there, people.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the game, when they forced the punt, which they had to go 99 yards after that, but just to make that play and force that punt, that was all Kareem Jackson blowing up that play. So, good for him. Okay.
We got some calls.
Yeah.
I'm hoping any, Dr. Chow.
Before we do that, though, any other big points or takeaways for you from the game itself?
Yeah, there was a lot, but we covered some of them. I really thought, and kudos to Watson for putting it on him, because that's something normally we would get out of the coaching staff. But to say, the one thing that just bothered me about his quotes were, I was very low energy. I mean, it's the first game of the regular season, first game of your comeback. You should be sky high jacked up. That bothered me a little bit, but I do like the ownership and the fact that he did not play well yesterday. The pick that should have never been thrown into double coverage in the back of the end zone was something he should not have done.
I think he struggled with accuracy most of the game.
I agree.
He wasn't really accurate, and you can't completely blame this Texans line. I think he held the ball too long sometimes. Again, the O-line didn't play great. Julian Davenport had a rough game.
They moved them to right tackle because of that injury, and then they put that rookie at left tackle, I don't know if that was a good move.
Yeah, I mean, and then to run at the left tackle immediately.
Lose your starter and then you go back to running the ball, which was asinine.
Yeah, I felt like Watson maybe he struggled with his accuracy. He was under pressure a lot, but you know, I feel like he held the ball too long. It was just a bad game.
A lot of this goes to what I wrote about on SportsMap last night that it came out this morning is the fact that when your number ones on offense play a total of about a quarter and a half in all of preseason,
rust, yeah,
it's just ugly football in the first couple weeks till they really get back into game speed, game action. And that's what I saw, because you're right. There were a couple times he had guys open in the middle of the field, but by the time he decided to throw it, the defender was able to close and cut it off. And then in the balls where he did throw it at the right time, Ellington is the one that comes to mind, wide open across the field, threw it behind him on the defender side. Defender was able to get a hand in on
it. What about the fourth down? Ryan Griffin wide open on a post, and he just misses him. It's a poorly timed, poorly thrown ball.
Yep.
And he's going to get better. I mean, he's had, six starts as a professional?
Yeah.
He's going to get better. He's going to learn from that. It's a Mitch Trubisky-type game. You saw flashes. You think, okay, this kid's going to be good. We know what he can do. He just had a bad game. He struggled a little bit, and it might be exactly what you said, Rust. Last point, because I know we got to go to break. give a lot of credit to Tyler Irvin in that return game.
He was good, too.
Really good. I mean, I think they averaged 30 yards on the kickoff returns.
Really capitalizing on that kickoff rule, too, where he can get a little bit of an advantage. He takes it. Yeah,
I'm not sure if anyone has even mentioned him yet, but he probably won't get enough credit for what
he did.
Right. But special teams has always been a problem for the Texans.
New special teams coach, new look, and I liked it.
It looked a lot better.
Yep. All right. Hour number one in the books. 2 hours still to go. The big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.